This episode brought to you by B&H Photo, the professional source for photo, video, and audio equipment, and so much more. B&H Photo is the smart way to shop with low prices, top-notch customer service, fast shipping, and no sales tax in 48 states. To learn more and check out special deals for our listeners, visit bhphoto.com/frogpants. That's bhphoto.com/frogpants. Coming up on TMS. How did the old War in the Stars do at the box office?
Japan law enforcement is bored.
Eating your mom on Christmas Day.
Oh, I would totally eat at mom's spaghetti.
UPS is bad at this.
Sounds like the bluest episode ever. Yeah. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All switches, relays, and bearings are mechanically tested to make sure that they are able to withstand the equivalent of up to 10 years wear.
Rubinoff and the orchestra carry on with the overture.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It is TMS for Monday morning, December 18th, 2017, 10:06 a.m. Good morning, Brian Ibbett. How are you?
Wow, that is every bit of information someone would need coming into this.
Well, I didn't say my name, but they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. Yeah. We also didn't give them the weather and the traffic, but that comes on the 10s.
On the 10s? Oh, I thought it was the 9s. Shit. I've got the wrong memo here. Hey, over here
we got
this.
Stall for one more minute.
We have a whole... we have a couple of local stations here that always say traffic and weather on the 9s. And I think they just do that so it's because it sounds kind of cool, but also I think it's for commercials. So they make sure they get their commercials in. Because I don't know if you've listened to terrestrial radio lately, Brian. It's nothing but nonstop commercials every couple of minutes.
I haven't listened to it in a long time on a regular basis, but man, yeah, it's hard to listen to.
It's like watching one of those cake competition shows on Food Network. They're just ads every 5 seconds. I don't understand.
Or watching the NBC, or was it NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt?
Yeah.
My God, every commercial break is a four-minute medication commercial.
Mm. Well, we know who his audience is, don't we?
Totally. Like, are you feeling listless and your penis won't go anywhere? Well, you need Dychantrix.
Your penis won't go anywhere. Okay, that's funny because I not long ago was watching Fox News in the afternoon, just trying to see what the, you know, some of the dumber. Well, I'll leave that what it is. Anyway, I'm watching a little Fox News.
Sure.
And the commercials for those are all, invest in gold today. Like, it's all buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
And don't quite understand that. But then if you hop over to CNN or MSNBC, it's all like AARP stuff. So bottom line is it's all for old people. I don't know who's watching the news, but apparently if they have their demographic right, I shouldn't be watching that stuff yet. I've got another 20
everybody
years.
Everybody under 50 is streaming their stuff, so they're on the right track. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I guess so. They know who they're talking to, but I worry about the future of mankind as a result. Anyway.
Are you still watching television over a terrestrial antenna or a long black cable attached to the back of a box that your son set up for you? Well, you need AARP.
Low monthly due payments. And I don't know what we do for you. What do they actually do for people? Do you know what AARP does for people? What's their deal?
Coupons and deals and articles about how not to get jacked by porch pirates. And,
yeah.
How to be afraid of literally everything in technology in the world. Is Bitcoin going to come and eat all your gold?
Yeah, that's basically it. Oh, here we go. I found some things. They do things, counseling for the elderly. So if you're old, they're like, oh, now settle down, Virginia. It'll be fine. That's what they do there. Mm-hmm. Then they got insurance plans, financial services stuff where they help you know how to invest your money there.
Good. That's good information.
Seems good, right? they have some charitable arms. That looks good. AARP driver safety courses. So you're a little blue-haired lady with your hand knuckles up here, right?
By the way, the term porch pirates has kind of stymied some members of the streaming live streaming audience. There's a lot of questions about that. It sounds like a racist term, doesn't it?
A little
bit. Yeah, well, my neighborhood's now full of porch pirates.
But I assumed it was like solicitors, right? Somebody coming to your door and
no, porch pirates are the guys that come and steal the packages off your porch while they think you're at work.
Oh, I didn't know that term was for that. I always thought, I really did think it was like a solicitor going, you know, door to door saying, you need insurance and I've got the thing for you.
I'm not racist, but boy, this country would be better if it weren't for all the porch pirates.
That's right. Yeah, people stealing packages is a thing. I'm missing a package. I got to figure out what the hell happened to
really?
It. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it got stolen, but can't find it yet, and I got to check with Amazon, see what happened. The 1 year I plan way ahead for Kim's gift, because I'm usually really last minute on all that sort of stuff because I suck at it, but the 1 year I'm way in advance on her gift, that gift goes missing, and I'm just like, come on, man. Can I
that
win?
Sucks.
I need a win
totally
here.
Sucks.
I need a win.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck, old people. We hope everything works out. I'm coming your direction at some point, so, you know, save a seat for me, I guess, at your AARP luncheon at the Piggly Wiggly or whatever.
We're eligible in a couple of years, man.
Yeah, that's us. Are we really? How long? When do you get eligible?
You're eligible at 50, even though you're not a retired person until, well, you're retired when you say you're retired, but... What 65 is the current retirement age, right?
Because it used to be like 58 or something, right? Or
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, we live longer now. That's the deal. Everybody can do stuff longer. We got, look at Gary from Lantronics down there working it. You know, that guy keeps going. Can't stop him. He's going to work till he's 80 or something. Anyway, so I thought it'd be fun to look and see. We talked yesterday, big spoiler episode of a Star Wars stuff. So if you want to hear that, go back and listen. We're not doing any spoilers today at all. Zero, in fact. But we are going to tell you how much the movie made over the weekend.
Yes.
And this matters because Brian and I own a movie in the movie draft, and it's called Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. And it's the only movie we own.
Yep. We spent all our magic beans on 85% of that movie.
And I still say it was the right move. These numbers seem to support it. Now, the big question is, you know, longevity. How does it do weekend after weekend? Right now, it is at a total weekend take over the weekend of its premiere through the weekend, a somewhat insane number of $220,047 gross. Or $47,000, sorry. So $220,047,000 over the weekend.
Right.
That, if that can maintain, you know, like the normal, you have some drop off, but have the kind of normal Star Wars maintenance going on for the next couple of weeks, I think we have this in the bag. If it doesn't, if we end up with a dip, and there's some thinking that might happen because audience scores don't quite match up with reviews. Reviews are in the 90 percentile, which is great. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, but the user reviews are like 55. It's real low.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means. Wow. I never trust that stuff online because people, you know, get in the little troll packs and they go jack shit up for no reason sometimes. So if you're mad about something you didn't like, you can get enough of your friends together and go comment the thing down so it looks like, you know, it looks like the world hates it, but really it's just you and your 20 friends.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm putting too much into that yet. You know, we talked yesterday about what we thought the strengths and the weaknesses of the movie are overall. Totally liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll see if it can hold. But do you like our chances? Do you think this is good?
I totally like our chances. So Force Awakened or Awakens made basically $248 million opening weekend. So this was a little bit less than that.
Yeah.
But it was way more than Rogue One, which... Rogue One pulled in 532,000, or I'm sorry, million.
Yeah.
532 million. Mm-hmm. So even if it does Rogue One numbers, and it seems like it's on par to go way, way past Rogue One numbers.
Yeah.
I think I like our chances quite a bit.
I agree. Second at the box office this weekend, opening also against Star Wars, which is never... Well, I don't know if I recommend it. It just seems like you're going to get buried by a Star Wars movie. Was the Fox release of Ferdinand, the animated feature about a bull. That's based on a book, I guess. Children's book.
To put something up against Star Wars, it's got to be the exact opposite of Star Wars. And I think that Ferdinand is not a good competitor because it's... you know, there's going to be overlap. There's going to be kids who want to see Star Wars and heck with a animated bull show.
To heck with the animated bull show. That's what I say.
The animated bull show.
Wow.
Which was the best spinoff of Night Court.
I loved that. Animated bull show was so good.
It honestly would have to be something like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy or The Fault in Our Stars. Or so I can't even think of what would be the best movie to put up against Star Wars where you're not going to have, where that little sliver in the Venn diagram is going to be the smallest.
Well, it's almost always a rom-com or something. I don't know about Open Against Episode 7. I feel like Episode 7 that weekend, everybody kind of tried to move their shit out of the way, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like nobody wanted
to compete. Yeah, Ready Player One was going to be coming out this weekend originally. It was planned to be a Christmas release.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When do we get it? In the spring?
Get it in March now.
Okay. Well, yeah. Spielberg's smart. He's not, well, it's not just his choice, but yeah, you got to move that thing around. Well, all right then. There you go. Oh, by the way, in second, Ferdinand at 13 million. But that is nowhere near 220 million.
No.
Coco still in third, doing well after 3 weeks. Let's see, how many weeks? Yeah, third. No, wait. How do you see how many weeks it's been? It doesn't say. Oh, no, it does say. Fourth week for Coco. Well done. Third place for Coco. And up till yesterday, or up till this weekend, it was still in first place.
Yeah.
Deservedly so. It's a fantastic movie. Freaking loved it.
Yeah, that's. I'm on the fence as to whether I want to see Coco or The Last Jedi again, because I felt like, again, we talked about this on the show, but it's a meaty movie. Lots of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And I need more I need more time to digest it.
Sure. So, we're going Christmas Day, so I'll get my second viewing in there, I guess.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in this Wonder movie, which is currently in fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the kid with the weird face in it.
Yeah. And, it's like Mask 2017.
A little bit. Yeah, not quite Rocky Dennis enough on the face. This is probably good. But anyway, that looks like it could be actually pretty good. It's reviewed well. People like that, which surprised me. I thought it'd be, sappy and cheesy, and apparently it's not so much. It's supposed to be really good.
It's got Owen Wilson. Wow, look at your face.
Wow, look
man.
At this. Wow. Wow, look at your. I like your face. Wow. Wow.
Wow, what a face.
Did you hear about that WoW mod?
Julia Roberts. Wow.
Did you hear about that WoW mod that lets you, every time you.
Yes, I saw a video of it, and every time you attack.
Yeah, he just goes,
wow.
Yeah, I got to get it. I got to freaking get it. I think that sounds amazing. After that, you got Justice League way down there at fifth place with...
That's still in theaters?
It is. It's total take for 5 weeks, 219, so a million less than Star Wars in one weekend.
In 3 days, 4 days,
Yeah, that seemed kind of not great.
Sorry, Batman.
Batman. Thor Ragnarok still in there in the top 10. You still got your Disaster Artist. And rounding out the top 10, Lady Bird, which I've heard really good things about.
Hmm.
But it's a very small indie deal and probably will be an Oscar contender, maybe even a winner from what I'm hearing. But
really?
Yeah. Okay. Those don't always end up being top 10 movie moneymakers.
No.
Anyway, there's that. Hey, Brian, how was your ugly Christmas sweater party?
Oh, it was great. Went to one of Tina's former coworkers had an ugly Christmas sweater party on Saturday night, and we kind of both knew going in that there were going to be very few people that we knew at this thing. Tina knew, well, and I knew through Tina, two of these former coworkers who were going to be at the party, but the rest were basically all the family and friends of the woman who was hosting the party.
Right.
And the object, as you can guess from the name, was to wear the ugliest Christmas sweater. And there were actual prizes and stuff for the ugly Christmas sweaters. I wore one that I put on Facebook, had twinkling lights and a reindeer with sunglasses for some reason.
Okay.
Not even close to the winner, though. So the winner was this guy who showed up with a picture of Hillary Clinton safety pinned to the front of his shirt, the front of his sweater. So it was a black sweater, and then he basically just had a portrait or a photo of Hillary Clinton safety pinned to it. Didn't even like go to the effort to applique it or anything like that.
Well, why would he? Why Hillary Clinton? Why?
Apparently, he knew the crowd. He knew he read the room and knew what was going to be going on at the at this party. So
he thought like anti-Hillary people there or pro-Hillary people there?
Anti-Hillary people, basically to say. ugly sweaters. I'm going to put someone that I find ugly on it.
Oh, that's a hoot. That's a real hoot.
And it's a thing that just doesn't belong at an ugly Christmas sweater party, in my opinion.
However, I
was going to make the comment, and somebody beat me to it, but I was going to make the comment, well, at least you know you're going to get the popular vote. But somebody beat me to it, and I felt like, all right, well, that's
pretty good, though.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. Oh,
so as we're leaving, we're getting ready to go, and the sister of the woman who's hosting the party is over in this area where all the coats have been kind of draped over a few chairs.
Yeah.
And we're grabbing our coats, and the, you know, the sister is there, and we see that she's picking up a what looks like a baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it, basically a Lucille bat.
Ew.
And I said, oh my god, that's hilarious. Is that like one of those, you know, foam bats with the rubber barbed wire on it? And I go to touch it, and my finger touches one of the barbed wire things, and I notice, oh no, it's sharp metal. It is actual metal on a wooden baseball bat.
Oh my gosh.
It is her Lucille. And I say, oh, that's a real one. She's like, yeah, I live alone. And I made the joke. I said, wow, what part of town do you live in?
Well, wait a minute. She made this to protect herself.
It is like a spot on, like she saw The Walking Dead and said, "Oh, I could use one of those."
Oh my gosh, dude!
Didn't take it as a cautionary tale. I don't know if she whistles when she's about to use it or
walks in there. Go, what's happening here, Rick? Does she do that? No.
Exactly. Hey, Rick. Good to see you. Wow. Anyway, so I said, well, what part of town do you live in? She's like, oh, I live in Arvada. I'm like, really? What part of Arvada? Well, I'm kind of close to the side of the mountains. And so there's, you know, one side of my house that we see a lot of hikers and stuff going at all hours of the night. And I live alone. And I'm just thinking to myself, some poor hiker is like in a trip over a rock at dusk or something.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, you know, I could, there's a house over there. I bet I could use their phone, and they're going to stumble and make their way over the phone. She's going to answer the door.
Yeah.
Pound his head in and take a Polaroid picture of it and put it on the wall.
And this is the person that lives in this place you were in? Or is it?
No, it's the sister of the person who lives in the place we're in. So the sister of the woman who's hosting the party.
So why is she bringing that to the party?
That's what I was wondering too. I guess she's also afraid of the walk to her car to her house from her car late at night.
Oh man!
Wow, sounds like you live in a pretty rough part of town. She says, "Well, I didn't bring my 38 special."
Oh, that's good. Still got that at home. It's not packing heat to the party though. That's good.
No, exactly. No, it's like, what Saturday night? Let's see. I'm gonna wear this outfit. What goes with this outfit? I know, the baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it. That's a good choice.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy. Yeah. Why wouldn't you have like a, I don't know, mace or freaking, it was something small, like not
something. Yeah.
Not a bat full of barbed. And that barbed wire, you're just gonna snag it on things and like.
Oh, totally.
You're gonna be like, oh, pardon me. Here's my coat and here's my giant weapon.
Right.
That you need exactly. to hide someplace. Like, that's very strange. All right. Well,
that's a good thing to bring in. There are lots of kids at the party. So yeah, it's just it's a crazy, crazy night.
Very odd. But mm-hmm. lots of dumb sweaters. And that's the important thing.
Yes.
My daughter had one of those parties. She threw one at her place for her friends and her cousins. And then Steve, my brother-in-law and Sarah, they did some sort of thing like that the other night. I've never done one. Is it a new thing I'm supposed to be doing? Should I be into this?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, this isn't the first one I heard about this year, and I don't know if I've ever heard of them in previous years. So it does feel like it's a new thing.
Yeah.
But it does involve, like, all of a sudden going to, like, a store or going to Goodwill or something, and you got to be on top of it because the closer you get to the few weekends before Christmas,
yeah.
Goodwill is wiped out, and the only thing you're going to find at Goodwill, and take it from somebody who went there and did this, only thing you're going to find at Goodwill are regular sweaters that have glue-gunned Christmas ornaments stuck to them.
Yeah.
The one here, the closest Goodwill to our house, has about 5 sweaters. And it's like somebody just took a box of crap Christmas ornaments and just hot glue gunned them to the front of a sweater to like say, okay, this is an ugly sweater.
Yeah, that's really weird to me. that that would
really
be a thing.
Weird. The whole thing is really weird.
It is kind of weird, but hey, whatever. We can't all look like Bill Cosby all the time, can we?
That's right, exactly.
All right, well,
so,
well done.
Hold on to your Christmas sweaters, people, if you've got them, because sooner or later you're going to get invited to one of these parties.
Do you do the white elephant deal or any of that sort of stuff?
No, none of that. Which is fine. Yeah. That thing takes so long. No, they brought out games. They brought out the, and I couldn't remember the name of this game last night when we were doing the Star Wars show, but the game where you have that dental thing that goes in your mouth that spreads your cheeks out and makes it so that you have a hard time talking, and then you have to read phrases from a card. But they're not like phrases like a stitch in time saves nine. It's like beautiful beavers by blanched boogers or something like that. But it sounds like, yo-ho, he-hey, yay, hello, it is Hong Oka.
I hate that mouth thing.
I do too.
I hate it. It grosses me out.
I know why you would, exactly, I know why you would hate it. It's because you look at that thing and say, how well did these people wash it before I'm putting it in
my
mouth?
Not well enough. I'm telling you right now, not well enough is the answer to that 100% of the time. Whatever it is they're doing.
Drool all over myself while I'm playing this damn game.
And how many? Are you supposed to have one for each person? Or what's the deal? How does it work?
Each person gets their own. Ugh. They had like eight of them. And at one point they suggested, I didn't play. Tina and I didn't play. We just kind of sat back and watched this. But at one point somebody suggested, hey, let's go around to the neighborhood and sing Christmas carols with these things. Just go up to people's houses.
I mean, to me, it's like saying, what's this game we're playing? Well, you put a toothbrush in your anus and then you read poetry. It's like, why? What? A, why? B, I'm not using your toothbrush from who knows where that's been. Forget this. I hate that game. Anyway.
If only I would have gotten you for Secret Santa, you would have a copy of this game under your tree right now.
Well, someone gave us one and it sits somewhere in the house, but I don't play it. I'm not touching it.
Wrapped in plastic. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You think it's new and you're like good to go. No, dude, some greasy-fingered kid in Malaysia jammed that in there, probably tested it first. I don't know what's happening with that thing. Like, I forget it.
Yeah, you just gotta boil it. Like, that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, that's all you can
do. I don't trust your dishwashing liquid scrubbing.
Or in my case, very much. In my case, just not do it. I think that's my answer.
Right.
Just not do it.
Just not.
Hey,
just
by the way, quick etymology here of white elephant. This is interesting. The term white elephant refers to an extravagant but burdensome gift that cannot be easily disposed of, based on the legend of the King of Siam giving rare albino elephants to courtiers who had displeased him. These might be ruined, might be ruined by the animal's upkeep costs. While the first use of the term remains a matter of contention among historians, one theory suggests that Ezra Cornell brought the term to popular use through his frequent social gatherings as early as 1828. So the idea is you're supposed to be getting rid of something that's, you know, a pain for you. And you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, which is always the way I'd understood it is. It's like, oh, hey, that... that copy of that game with the things you stick in your mouth we've never played. Yeah. Why don't we give that away as a present to somebody?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's what I should have done last night. What was I thinking? We did white elephants.
You could have given that away as a white elephant. And I don't know if it's ever been in anybody's mouth. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, that's the founder of Cornell University, says Sack Butt Egon.
Oh, really?
Wow. All right. I'm down with that. I'm behind the eight ball here. I was supposed to add him already. I'm going to add Brian Dunaway to this call.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, he's cool. We like him a lot. And we're going to give some away. Don't we have a transfer forward stuff? Yeah, you got all that.
Yep. We moved it forward from Wednesday's, Thursday's.
You moved Catwoman. I don't know what we did. Yeah. We
moved it because I wasn't here Thursday, so we moved it from Wednesday's show.
I remember nothing. Here's this thing right here. Hey everybody, check it out. It's a little game show theme, and that means it's time for Stump Dunaway. He's on the line right now. Hi, Brian. No? Oh.
Brian Dunaway. Push to talk.
Me? Oh, now we hear you. Hi.
How can you not hear me?
We can totally hear you now. Hi. Hello?
Maybe Brian?
He can't hear us. Are you on your phone? Hello?
Hold up.
It sounds like he's actually opened a window in South Carolina and is yelling out of it.
Oh, nothing. Just doing microphone boost at 30% plus 100%.
Yeah. Freaking Windows, dude. That's a Windows thing. Anyway, whatever. Hey, you're here. That's all that matters. I don't care. I like having
you
here.
Hey, Brian, as long as you can hear me, that's all I care about.
That's right. Hey, everybody out there listening, if you want to participate in today's Stump Dunaway, you know how to do it. There's this number I'm going to put up. There it is. 801-285-9395. That's 801-285-9395. And you could participate in today's festivities, which include Brian Dunaway being stumped or getting it right. Maybe. Who knows? It's happened before. It could happen again. So call us.
I'm not getting stumped.
No, never. Hey, real quick, let's have a final determination because we never really... Oh, you know what? Hold on. This call just came through. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Peter Emig.
Well, hello, Peter. Peter called in Eater. What? I don't know what I'm saying. It's good to have you here. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing quite well this morning.
Well, that is a joyous thing to hear. Brian,
where are you calling in from?
Arvada.
Oh.
You're in Arvada here? Look at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you live in Arvada, do you feel the need to get a baseball bat and wrap it in barbed wire to protect yourself?
Actually, from mountain lions, maybe not a bad idea.
Oh, all right.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So, see? You never know, Brian. Maybe there's
Are you in the western part of Arvada then?
Mm. I'm right under Table Mountain.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know Table Mountain. The old Table Mountain routine.
Technically, it's unincorporated Jefferson County, but...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all right then.
I drive down easily all the time and probably go right by your house.
Very nice. Well, then take a bat with you next time, because who knows what's hiding out there.
For sure.
Yes, hey, Dunaway, we got a question for you. Brian's going to explain all this, though, so that we know what the rules are and talk about what the prizes are. Brian, how does it work?
That's right. Peter, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is a number. Brian Dunaway is going to give his guess, and then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a cool prize pack, including the carryover prizes from last week, the copy of Chivalry Medieval Warfare, courtesy of Miles, the Supergirl keychain, and today we're adding a Jazzness t-shirt in whatever size you want. It's got artwork from both me and Scott Johnson on it on Ooh. One shirt, Ooh. And a copy of Gunmetal Arcadia Zero.
Whoa. Peter, it pays to be the guy who comes on after someone lost. So.
After a loss. Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well done. Also, being in Nevada, this will be a cheap ship for Brian, so this is good.
Cheap ship.
So what's our topic?
Our topic today is back to the future.
Oh, cool. Do you guys see that Ernie Klein video he posted yesterday of his custom DeLorean that he built? The author of Ready Player One? It's awesome. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the money now, I guess. He can go ahead and do that. Anyway,
oh, no.
Here you go. The Back to the Future. That's Ibbot or Dunaway. You like those movies, right? You're cool with those.
Yeah, I like those movies. Okay, yeah. I love those movies.
Okay, all right. This is good to know. The Back to the Future movies take place in the past, present, and the future. All right, so lots of stuff.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about the future anymore.
Well, two, right?
Yeah, but that's our past.
Right, oh, and then if he changes the future, it changes the.
Yeah, but okay, we shouldn't say anything because that might help.
Their future, our past. Yeah,
correct. Yes.
Anyway, by 1989 standards, anyway, how many years is the total time frame for these three movies? So, all three movies, what is the time frame from one of the far end to the far end of the other end? And the hint I would give you is it's many years.
Good luck is the hint you're going to give me because, let's see, he falls back to the 1800s, so that's where we're going to start at, but then he jumps forward to, trying to think. Now, so this is just the three movies,
this
right?
Is the
Nothing
three movies.
Weird. Yeah. You're not going to throw no weird, non-canonical crap in me.
No.
Or fanfic. Right.
No. No short films like that weird commercial thing they did. None of that. None of that counts.
Right, right.
I've come from SCTV to deliver this telegram that we've been holding on to for years.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to go with 125 years.
125 years.
That sounds wrong, but 125. I'm sticking with it.
All right, 125. Brian Ibbot, is that the correct answer?
125 years is incorrect. Peter, is the correct answer higher or lower than 125 years?
I'm pretty sure it's 130, so slightly higher.
Slightly higher at 130.
Oh, I'm scared.
What? Don't be afraid. Everything will be fine. Let's find out.
I've embarrassed myself beyond, you know, fixing it.
Fixing it. Yeah, exactly. Here's they said fixident. Isn't that a dental thing for your dentures?
Yes.
You know who could use that? Let me tell you who could use that. Hold on.
Martha. Oh yeah. Psycho. Martha Ray could use it.
Yeah. Whoops. Here's who could use it. Oh gosh, dang it. This is taking too long. Here we go. This guy right here.
The United States.
There you go. That guy could use some fixident.
Where my teeth go?
here's how we find out.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Peter, you did it. In fact, you nailed it. 130 years is absolutely correct. Brian, you were really close, though, so well done there.
Yeah, both of you well done.
Furthest back they go in the past is 1885. The furthest they go into the future is 2015, making that a total of 130
years.
Oh, that
makes sense. 1885, of course.
Yeah. You know what's weird about that?
I'm an idiot.
Somebody lived to 100 during that time, died. A kid was born that day and lived to 30. That's all. There's a 30-year-old walking around right now that's just one person behind to the back to 1885. Think of that.
Was that related, though? The dude that died at 100 and the other one that was born as kind of like a Highlander baby situation?
The passing of the baton? Right, yeah. Maybe right. The 30-year-old killed the 100-year-old.
No, I doubt that, but I like that. Conversation for whatever reason, it's fun for me. And time is weird because if you think about it in certain ways, it's like, whoa, that's really fast. Like, that's nothing. 130 years,
things a lot in lifetimes. Yeah
I do, really, for some reason. I don't know why. It's my currency.
You're kind of like a time bandit.
Yeah, lord bandit would
it's like one and two thirds Johnny Mathis's. Johnny Mathai, is that the plural of Johnny Mathis?
Yeah, it's Jonathus Mathias. I don't know. No idea. But well done, Peter, in Arvada. You get all this stuff. All you got to do is send Brian an email, and he'll make the arrangements. Coverville@gmail.com. That's coverville@gmail.com. Well done, Peter, and congratulations.
Yay.
Oh, what happened?
Peter, congratulations.
Oh, it killed his call. Sorry. I was going to let him say something, and it didn't do what I wanted.
Anyway,
that was fun. Hey, Dunaway. I know what I was going to ask you before.
Hey, Scott.
Here's the question for you.
I'm sorry. I've already done questions today.
Here's a new one. You have to answer it. It's required by law.
All right.
Is Gremlins, which we just watched for FilmSack, and it's up now.
Right.
You guys should go watch it. Is Gremlins
awesome.
A Christmas movie, or is it just a movie set during Christmas?
Okay. Everybody wants to know the answer to this question.
It's a big one. Yeah.
The problem is the question is too large in scope. Because it doesn't define what a Christmas movie is. Mm. Is a Christmas movie, is it, if it takes place during Christmas, does that make it a Christmas movie? Or does it have to have a Christmas spirit? I say it has a Christmas spirit. Mm. A dark one, but nonetheless, yes, mm-hmm. Christmas is a central focus to Gremlins. The story is about Christmas time and incidents happening.
Yeah,
and there's Christmas songs throughout. So, yes, it is a Christmas movie.
Okay. I think I agree. I think I agree.
Maybe that's, we all need, like, you know, the whole Die Hard debate. Maybe there needs to be just a standard definition that says, if your movie contains a Christmas song in the soundtrack,
right,
it's a Christmas movie. Because Die Hard has
Christmas
and Hollis. Mm-hmm. It's got the Let It Snow at the very end.
Yeah, I feel like that one is sandwiched with two classical. Or maybe it's the Hollis one at the beginning, but either way,
and he makes jokes about presents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He writes ho 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 on that
ho,
shirt.
Ho, now I have a gun. Yeah.
Okay, now I got a bigger, harder question about Die Hard. Okay, bigger and harder.
Right.
All right, here's
and more Die Harder.
Yeah,
right,
Die
right.
Harder.
Fist with your toes is the answer.
Yeah,
fist with your toes.
Here's my question on that. Do we think that they are terrorists, or are they just bank robbers, or are they just, you know, heisters? Because they get called terrorists a ton in this thing, but I don't know that they do.
The first one, they're not terrorists because they don't want to get caught. They want to steal.
Yeah, they just want to steal stuff.
Is that the definition? I mean, the baseline definition of a terrorist is someone who inflicts terror into a group.
Right. Yeah, it isn't that they want to get caught. Yeah, I don't think that you define a terrorist by, I want to get caught, therefore I'm a terrorist.
Well, they wanted to go undetected. Crimes. Yeah, they want credit for the crimes. They wanted to go undetected. That was their ploy. Right. The only reason why they wanted to be found later was so that they could put it under the umbrella of terrorism. But no, I think they were definitely looking.
They were just heisters, right? They were just trying to steal all of those bonds or whatever it was down there.
So we could actually have a reverse movie of Ocean's Nakatomi, basically. Nakatomi 11.
Nakatomi 11.
Cooper is the George Clooney character. And
sure.
Now the second and the third, which one was it? I was trying to think, because you were saying, I think you were talking about just the first one, but the second one I think is more terrorist active.
Yes. And I'd say the third one terrorism. Also is more terrorism. Yes. I can't remember four and five. So for people have to forgive me on those, but I think one is a bank, not bank, but you know, a robbery movie.
Yeah.
Right. Set in Christmas, therefore a Christmas movie. And then the second one is a terrorist plane thing where the
revenge.
Yeah, right. It was revenge based, but it was still, you know, that was a terrorist act. And then third one, same deal. It was what's his name's brother getting revenge and holding the city hostage, and that wasn't about stealing anything.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like weren't
they trying to get it across to another
line
room
between heist and terrorism?
Yeah, but they didn't blow the building up though.
Then why do they have all those detonators?
Well, that's all just to get more. That's all just to say, give us the shit we want, or we'll blow the place. But that's no different than like a hostage taker. I'll shoot all these people if you don't give me my pizza and my airplane or whatever.
Right.
Isn't that what they always get? Is pizza and an airplane? Anyway, this this supplementary Film Sack episode brought to you by Brian Ibbett, who is standing right over there.
And brought to you by the lack of Randy's microphone, which keeps him out of this conversation.
Yeah, he probably's there. We don't know. He just can't hear him because it keeps cutting out because his mic sucks. Hey, that's it. Thanks, Brian Dunaway. Stay out of trouble and eat your vittles. That's the end of that. All right, what now? I know. It's the news, and it's brought to you by
sharing an improv testicle story at the family Christmas gathering.
Yeah, can't wait to hear this. This is not good. So I didn't know this till last second, but Kim and everybody were like, you know, Kim did everything. The food, she had gifts for everybody that we did like Santa style. I was supposed to dress like Santa and wear the hat again. We couldn't find the suit, but we had a hat, so I just wore the hat. And I passed them out and said, oh, this one's for Morgan and this one's for whoever. And so I'm giving everybody their gifts and everything.
You move from Santa to Santa's helper. Helper Scott.
Basically, yeah. And that was fine. But I wasn't told that we were doing... I knew we were doing a white elephant thing, but I didn't know we were doing the story one where you pass it to the right and pass it to the left and that whole thing. So usually what it is a written story. You know, it'll be like, before we left, and everyone passes it, we went right down the street, and everyone has to pass it right. And you just kind
of never heard of that sort of thing. That's
really? Okay, yeah. And there's a lot of easy.
Take no plums, leave no plums of Christmas gift giving.
Kind of, yeah. And there's tons of these pre-written on the internet. I should have just grabbed one and read it. But instead, everyone's like, ooh, he should improv it. He should make it up as he goes. Just make up a story, Scott. And I went, oh, okay, I guess I could do that. And my wife goes, or my mom goes, oh, he's so good at telling these stories. You know why? Because when I read to him at night, he'd tell me to read him a story and I would just make one up, and that's why he's good at it. So she's doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, Brian and I do a morning show. Maybe some of that's helped me come up with dumb ideas. So let me see what I can do here.
Is the goal for you to end up with the present that you had originally, or is it really shuffling the deck?
It's really just shuffling the deck. And then when you're done, you see what other people got and you can do trades and, you know, steals and stuff like that. This is a big dumb game, but anyway, so instead of reading this story, which is usually some nice Christmas story, I made it up, and it involved a guy named Purvis who was found in the road unresponsive, ends up in the ER with testicle pain.
Wow. Okay.
That's
dark.
I wish I'd have recorded it so you guys could hear it, but it was really something.
How old was the youngest kid at your party?
Let's see. Most of the little ones are with Wendy now, so the youngest would have been Nick, my son at 17.
Oh, okay. All right, then that's all right.
So it wasn't a problem in terms of appropriateness, but it was just I couldn't think of anything good. And all the old, like my mom and John, people are looking at me like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? And I kept going on and on, and it was always like, he found the body right next to the alleyway. When he checked to see if he was breathing, he was left with a sense that he might live. So he ran right to the hospital, like that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And poor Purvis, he couldn't hear out of one ear.
He had pain both in his left and right testicles.
He did, and he couldn't hear out of his left ear, but then later it was his right ear, and yeah. It was super bad. I probably scarred people.
And on the way, he heard Straight Up by Paula Abdul. So you throw your present in the air and then catch it.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. What's she doing now after the American Idol? She all right?
Oh, gosh, who knows?
Yeah. Think she's okay, though? She's, you know.
She's hanging with DJ Scat Cat and, you know, Opposites Attract and all that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she's always got that in the backup lane, whatever that means. Sure. Hey, here's a story for you. Japan. Yes. Japan's weird. They're weird in lots of ways, but here's a new way that they're weird. Crime is literally drying up in that country. There's no crime, or so much less of it that police are trying to figure out what to do with themselves. The stakeout lasted a week, but it paid off in the end. Tireless police of Kagoshima, a sleepy city on the far south of the country, watched the unlocked car for a day and a night. It was parked outside a supermarket and contained a case of malt beer. Finally, a passing middle-aged man decided to help himself, and five policemen instantly pounced, nabbing one of the city's few remaining lawbreakers. So they have literally gotten to the point where that country has such low crime rates, they have to set up a crime and hope somebody bites.
Like, total entrapment. Five days.
They're fishing for illegal activity.
Oh my god.
Japan's cluttered streets are not always pretty, but they are remarkably safe. I think they're always that's a clean city, I think. Or clean country. Anyway, crime rates have been falling for 13 years. The murder rate is 0.3 per 1,000 people. It's among the lowest in the world. In America, it is almost 4. So 0.3 wow. versus 4 is a big difference.
That is amazing, and that's the entirety of Japan, not just the sleepy town of Kagoshima.
Yeah, it's the entire country. A single gun slaying was recorded for the whole of 2015. Even Yakuza gangsters, once a potential crime force, have been weakened by tougher laws and old age. So here's the main kicker. Nobody's having babies anymore over there. They're all just like, meh! I'm good. I don't need to have no kids. And then they don't have kids and they just age out of it. And now there's nobody down younger to take over. It's super weird. Like Japan's
that is weird.
Japan's weird.
That is, it's such a fixed growth area, right? I mean, you can't expand out. If you start getting a lot of population, you notice it adversely affecting you. You know, already. So it's almost like the crowded streets and the tiny shops that you have to walk sideways through mm-hmm. are the best birth control ever. Because you know that if I have kids, that hallway's going to get even narrower.
Yeah. It says here the lowest. So here are your lowest birth rates in the world. You ready for this list?
Yeah.
South Korea, number one. They have the lowest birth rate, which I didn't expect. Singapore, another Asian country, second lowest.
Is it based on like 100% means... How are these numbers? Do you have these numbers themselves? So like, is 100% they're having babies at the exact rate that people are dying, so their population stays
correct.
The same would be 100%.
100% should be your median there. Yeah, like you're replacing dead old people as quickly with young brand new fetal babies.
Gotcha. So what's the number on South Korea? What's the bottom?
This doesn't say. Where's the number? Darn. That's what I was looking for. Country comparison. Oh. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, I found it. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. So lowest birth rate. Oh, this one's got it. This one changed it. 6.72 in Monaco. Japan 8.07. These are more updated. Looks like Japan's in charge now. They're okay. One of the highest, or the lowest rather.
Lowest,
eight,
yeah.
Yeah, 8.1% Singapore, 8.26% Korea. So they're all in that 8% range.
Interesting.
The United States of America, where we live. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Here we go. 13.42. That's also down. By the way, worldwide, everyone's down on some level. Nobody's like straight up killing it with the 100%. The highest is Niger with, or Niger, I don't know how you say it, 46.12%. Then Mali, then Uganda, then Zambia.
Wow. 46%. So is that, boy, I wish I knew what these had a...
Maybe 50, maybe the number 50% is the one we're looking for. Maybe it's a 50-50 thing. Well, I see what it is. So, birth rate.
If Niger's the highest, that means that no country is birthing babies at the same rate that their citizens are dying.
Right. And I don't know if
it's got to be, there's got to be some that are over 50%.
Yeah. So I think this number's, I don't know. Oh, here it is. Birth rate, births per 1,000 population. That's what this number is.
So, oh, really?
So okay. 46.12 births per 1,000 people already there.
So we need to see a death rate to be able to compare it to,
Yeah.
Be able to say, all right, how many deaths per 1,000 people were there in 2016 or whatever?
Yeah, you're totally right. By the way, the top eight are all African countries. They're just doing it, just constantly doing it, just doing it, doing it.
Sometimes it's hard to get those Trojan shipments out there in time, and
that's right. Right in the middle, you have Nauru, Jordan, and Swaziland. Anyway, that's an interesting thing. But overall, all the birth rates are lower than they used to be.
So, wow,
I don't know why that is. Cultural stuff. The other day, somebody was saying, who was it? Somebody in Congress. Oh, it was Paul Ryan says, well, we need to have more babies. That's what we need in this country is more babies. And I went, well, you're not really motivating a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're not really giving them a good reason.
Do we get a tax credit for more babies, Paul Ryan?
Turns out no. But
yeah.
Anyway, there's that. Hey, right. Look at this here. So anyway, Japan, good job.
That's just Paul Ryan's way of saying that he wants a little more action from his wife.
Yeah. A little more action, please, he says in Elvis voice.
A little more action, please.
He is married, right? Paul Ryan? I assume he is.
I think so. I think there's a Mrs. Ryan.
Probably.
You don't see her as much as you see all the other political wives. Paul Ryan's wife.
Yeah, she just kind of behind the scenes kind of deal?
Jana Ryan, yeah.
Jana Ryan. Let's take a look. Oh, she's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a nice lady.
She's a liberal who voted twice for Obama.
Yeah, she is. She was. That's right. I've heard of her. She's famously not her husband's ilk in politics. Yeah. So
again, showing that opposites attract.
Yep, opposites attract, and you know.
It ain't fiction; it's a natural fact.
I hate
go
that.
Together, cause opposites.
It's a bad song. It's a dumb, bad song.
If it weren't for that catchy video, we'd never know that song.
No.
Like the video was the only selling point of that song.
Yeah. All right, we have time for one more story. Check this one out. This is hilarious. UPS. UPS, dude. They are the Brown. What can Brown do for you? Let me tell you what they can't do for you.
Oh, okay? We're not doing the mum?
I'll save her for tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow's mum. Okay.
Well, we're keeping her. Don't you worry. Because she's doing what I want to do with my ashes. I'm going to, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
UPS loses family $846,000 inheritance and only offered a refund of $32 for the shipping fee.
Oh, that's nice of them. That's nice of them to step up like that.
Real sweet of them. Canadian man says he is broke after United Parcel Service lost track of his inheritance money. The intended $846,000 delivery was a bank draft from TD Canada Trust, which still hasn't refunded the lost fortune. 10 months later, instead, UPS offered an apology and $32 to pay for the shipping costs. Lorette Taylor says it was a total surprise. Never in my wildest imagination did I think something like this would happen. Taylor's brother, Lewis Paul Herbert, sounds like a future serial killer to me, said they were finalizing the details on her father's will last February when they went to the local UPS store near Cornwall, Ontario, where he was expecting a package from his sister containing his share of the loot. It never came. Let's see. They sent the money to UPS from her lawyer about 270 miles away in Georgetown. So Herbert wouldn't have to worry about picking up the money. She obtained the bank draft in February after she said the bank advised it as the safest way to send a large sum of money like that. They never got it. The bank said they guaranteed the money would be replaced. Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
The bank note is just a note. It's not cash. So right, the cash is at the bank.
Exactly. So
cancel the note. Give them a new note.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is easy.
Right. Easy solution. And you don't need to get UPS involved. I mean, basically, it's a check. You say, okay, you never see the check. Cancel it. Issue a new one. Boom. Done.
What do you do in Canada? It's like, explain this one to us with all your fancy social programs. How do you do this? How does your bank stuff work? Because that's weird. I probably
would have used FedEx. You know, I don't know why. I think FedEx for anything smaller, small enough to fit in a thin envelope that you need, like, really good tracking for.
Yeah.
I would do FedEx. But why didn't they just do a bank transfer?
Yeah, what, all of this doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. We live in 27. This didn't happen in the 1800s with the freaking guy on a horse trying to get a check to you.
To the side of a horse and sent it on its way to you.
It didn't even have a rider. It was just a horse with a staple.
Just the horse.
Yeah, this doesn't jive. So no. Some clarification needed. We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers time, and we'll do that right after this here break. But this break is a song break, and Brian has to explain what that is. So, Brian, what is it?
It's a musical song break, and you would think that these guys, like Peter earlier in Stump Dunaway, you'd think that these guys were from my part of the world as well. But you'd be wrong. These guys are actually from New York, but their name is Chili Colorado, which actually came from the band's founder, Ron Wright. As a kid, could not pronounce chili con carne, so he pronounced it Chili Colorado.
Oh, and that's awesome. I love that.
So that name has always kind of stuck with him, and then when he decided to create his band, which is a fantastic blues band, he decided to go with the name Chili Colorado because it seemed to be appropriate. They performed all throughout California through the summer. Maybe they are from California. There's some New York connection, though, to them. Yeah. Okay. Well, they're from one of the coasts. Let's say that.
Sure.
Let's say that they're from one of the coasts.
Sure.
This is from their album, Getting Restless. This song is great. It's called Fast Woman's Loving. Get ready for some blues this Monday. Here is Chili Colorado.
Hello, you guys, and welcome to A Moment with me, talking about our friends at B&H Photo, the professional source for video, photo, and audio equipment. I get all kinds of audio equipment from there. My daughter, now a professional photographer, also gets her stuff there. And whether you're shopping for gifts or buying something for yourself, B&H Photo is the smart way to shop with low, low prices, top-notch customer service, fast shipping, and no sales tax in 48 states. We're pretty excited to be working with them. I have bought so much stuff over the years. Microphones, spider mounts, mixers, all kinds of podcasting equipment. They got way more than that, too. They've got thousands of products, including drones, podcasting equipment, as I mentioned, computers, TVs, and more. And there's quite a few things to get. So I want you to go do a deal here. Right now, B&H Photo is offering free expedited shipping on most items. Combine that with their low prices and no sales tax, you got a pretty good reason to buy there and nowhere else. If you need business-related gear, great time to do it. So you can write that stuff off in 2017 for your taxes next year. bnhphoto.com/frogpants is the place to go. That's, again, bhphoto.com/frogpants. And check out some of our recommendations. Visit the page and check out the deals. See what you think. And make sure you browse the site as well. There's so much more there after you've been done looking at those. bhphoto.com/frogpants for all your purchases. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. Support our sponsors. They help make us possible.
Much of this highly specialized work takes place inside individual cages designed to screen out electrical interference.
What does this computer do?
Will they ever get off this damn island? This is the Morning Stream.
Hey, we're back, everybody. We're back.
Hello.
Hey, I know you're a reality show fan. Did you see that they fired the ex-apprentice lady from the White House there?
She was, Omarosa, yeah.
I didn't even know she was working there.
We did watch The Apprentice in those early days. And boy, we disliked Omarosa, her attitude on that show.
I don't remember her even.
It comes as no surprise.
I don't remember who she was, but she was just a contestant? She won or she lose? Or?
Yeah, it was like before they started doing Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm thinking they brought her back for Celebrity Apprentice, though. Or at least as a judge for one of the episodes of Celebrity Apprentice. I can't remember, but
yeah
she was like the epitome of, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to win a reality show, which is every reality show tagline should be something like that.
Yeah. And she won, let's see. Oh, she has a crazy name. Amorosa Mangualt.
Mangualt. And she was married to the actor Michael Clark Duncan for a while.
Really? The one that died.
Yeah.
The dead one.
Yes. Right. If I remember correctly, she was married to...
All right. Well, maybe now I'm wondering how he died. It's terrible to say.
Am I confusing? I hope I'm not confusing. Yeah, there we go. Omarosa Manigault, she was married. Oh, yeah, basically married from 2010 to when he passed away in 2012.
Who's she married to now? She remarried?
I don't know.
Huh. All right. Well, best of luck to her.
Yeah.
Sure that went just exactly how you wanted.
No. Oh, yeah. She married someone this year, John Allen Newman.
Oh.
Newman.
Great. All right. I know what to do now.
But boy, Leslie Jones, they had some Leslie Jones stuff on SNL this last weekend making fun of Omarosa. That was pretty dang funny.
I heard that was an awful episode, though. Is it true that it was no good?
There was a really funny Pandora commercial at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the rest of the episode was kind of ho-hum. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
It gives me the bummer feelings.
But, you know, Kevin Hart, I like Kevin Hart a lot. And,
funny
you
guy.
Just don't give him enough good material, I guess, when he's on there.
I guess so. I didn't really like the one before either. The week before, I thought I happened to watch it because we were in that hotel. I don't think SNL does it for me anymore. I think that's why I don't care. It's just not making me laugh. I don't know.
It hasn't for a while. I know that it's been a while since you've really watched it, and it's we watch it every week, and it's, you know, kind of follows the same formula.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes and Weekend Update are usually the best part of it. And then once you get past Weekend Update, it is it's a struggle.
Yeah. I don't know why they have to make it so long. They should shorten that damn thing. Well, anyway, tradition. It's hard to break. Hey, I know what to do now as a little idea I've got to play this button. Oh, that's weird. Hold on. The clip's so nice, we played it twice. Steven Schleicher is on the line. Hello, Steven.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you so much, Scott. And hello, Brian.
Oh, what a nice greeting. Hello. He's the best. It's the best greeting we've had all day, Brian. Don't you think?
It is. It is absolutely the best greeting. It's, it's clear. It's voluminous.
Yeah. It's precise, concise. It's all those things. Well done, Steven. Hey, it's good to have you here. Major spoiler zone, Steven Schleicher, here on the tail end of Star Wars, which we're not really going to talk about, but no. I am curious.
I could do a whole non-spoilery thing for you.
Well, you tell me what you thought. What did you
Here's
think?
The thing. I went and saw the movie, and I am surprised at how this movie has brought out the toxicity in Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like creepy scary.
Yeah. Really? Why do you think
like,
that?
More so than anything, I feel like we got that with Force Awakens, and we got that with
The reason why Force Awakens didn't get as much attention, and here's the thing, is Force Awakens is Star Wars, mm-hmm. right? It's the first movie, but overlaid with a few other things. I think the reason is, and if you'll permit me to go off on a tangent, when I was a kid and played with my Star Wars action figures, my friends and I would set up these great battles, and we would play with them, and they'd be so awesome. We'd look at each other and be going, "That was so cool!" At the end of that, mm-hmm. and then immediately we would say, "Let's do it again." Mm-hmm. And so we try it again, and sometimes we would want to be slavishly devoted to making sure that the figure flipped in just the same way that we did before, because that was so cool when that happened. But a lot of times it wasn't the same, and eventually it got boring and dull, and we had to move on to something else. Mm. And I think why there's so much backlash against Star Wars is it is burning Star Wars fandom to the ground and saying, hey, you can go and do some other things, still enjoy what you had before, still have that nostalgia and that memory of what you had before.
Yeah.
But now there's new kids that want to play in this sandbox. And Rian Johnson, I think, is just a few years behind us, which would put him around the same age as my sister.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was able to see the movies when they were originally, the Star Wars movie, when it originally released. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he was too young. But I remember when my sister tried to horn in on our Star Wars games, it was like, no, stay away. This isn't your Star Wars. This is us. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of that going on in fandom where we just have to say, we have to grow up a little bit. We have to let another generation of people tell their stories in the Star Wars universe. And a lot of fans don't like that.
Yeah. He's 44. So he's definitely old enough to have felt it, you know, like,
well, he would have been around for Empire Strikes Back and had seen that.
Sure. But I get what you're saying. And also, I just would like to point out, Rian Johnson is a very different kind of director compared to J.J. Abrams, who pretty much went. I mean, J.J. Abrams knows how to paint by the numbers, but also, you know, paint those numbers really well.
Stay within the lines, yeah.
But and he does it. He pulls it off, and it's great. I think Rian Johnson is, you know, if you've ever seen Brick or Brothers Bloom or Looper or any of those movies, he's tonally a very different kind of director. And I did sense in this movie a little bit of that in conflict with the normal tone of Star Wars. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think some people are perceiving it that way.
Yes, and you're right that J.J. Abrams is slavishly devoted to Lucas and Spielberg. I mean, go back and look at 8mm, for example.
Yep.
Is a perfect example of that.
Yep.
Rian Johnson, one could very much argue that he is doing exactly what George Lucas did in 77. If you look at all the movies that came out in 77, I mean, you've got Deer Hunter, in this area. So you got Deer Hunter, Apocalypse Now, Taxi Driver, all these like existential dread movies, right? And then, you know, the end time stuff. And here comes George Lucas that says, I'm going to tell a space fantasy story.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what the F are you doing? And suddenly it becomes the biggest thing out there. Right. And I think Rian Johnson is doing the same thing where everyone's like, look, you got to do this Star Wars movie like the Star Wars movies. And he's like, no, I'm going to tell this story. And he convinced Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy and the group that this would be a good idea. And I think it paid off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I think it did, too. I still say the again, from yesterday, it's not a spoiler, but the Finn storyline, I didn't enjoy at all. I thought that was weird and superfluous and didn't need to be in there.
I think there's an argument to be made for that. I haven't listened to your Star Wars thing, and I don't want to discuss it here, but I think there's an argument to be made that that was a necessary part of the story as convoluted and as difficult as it was.
Well, maybe as a lead into three, or not three, but nine, maybe. I don't know. Maybe nine, that's going to matter a whole lot. But you're probably right, and that's great. And like I said, I love the characters. I just don't, I don't know. The way that was told was weird. And again, we got, you know, this movie's a little long, two hours, 30 minutes. And
I went and saw it at 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
And I was like, by the end of it, I was like, that didn't feel like 2 hours and 30 minutes to me at all.
No, it felt short. It feels short. But my point is that they had to cram a lot into a relatively long running time. And I think some of that stuff was a little crammed. But the overall feeling I got was, dude, Star Wars, let's go. Let's do this. And I liked, the approach. I liked the tone. I liked some of the stuff in there is just super rad. Here's what I know for sure, though. You're never going to have a happy Star Wars fan base.
You will never be able to go back to your childhood and play that exact same thing with your action figures ever again like you remember it, because it's not that. You've grown up and matured and changed. Fandom has hopefully grown up, mature, and changed.
Yeah.
And that's the direction that we have to go with these Star Wars movies. Now, someone in the chat said, so is J.J. Abrams going to follow on what Johnson has done? According to Variety and Hollywood Reporter and everyone today, J.J. has just pitched his story to Disney and Lucasfilm for the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah. I think people have it in their heads that this new trilogy and this entire 9-film arc is supposed to be already written somewhere, and they're just waiting to put it to film. I got bad news for him. This stuff usually happens, not last minute, but, you know, he just pitched the story. Like, we don't know where this is going to go.
Right.
And I kind of like that kind of chaos, but the fan base is never going to truly, like, be happy, dude. That's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I mean, I consider myself a big Star Wars fan. I know, Brian, you do.
Yeah.
You and I think, you know, the world of where they're going, and it's great.
I love it, yeah.
They can even, you know, falter, and I'm still okay with it. Like, I know people that hated Rogue One, and I really liked Rogue One.
I have enjoyed, and I know, again, I enjoyed the first three episodes for what they were. I enjoyed the original trilogy when I was growing up. I am enjoying the heck out of what they're doing now, because for me, it's Star Wars, and I really, really enjoy Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is great.
Granted, some episodes I will like more than others.
Sure.
But for the most part, I enjoy it. Yeah. And there's without spoilers, there's a great bit at the end of The Last Jedi that basically is saying, hey, it's time for the next generation to go out and do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hits all the Star Wars notes you need. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got good guys, bad guys, rogues, question marks above some people's heads, and that's it.
There's two things that have to change. Our attitudes about rating them all the time, that's got to change. I think that's dumb.
Human nature. You're never, ever, ever going to get rid of people wanting to put things in order and give their top five of anything.
Yeah, and I even did it. I am complaining about it, and I freaking did it. Although it was more about a joke about the final three, which were in the 90s. Like, it stopped at 6 and then went 97 to 100. But anyway, the point is, when I ranked the Christmas special above the prequels, because I was kidding around, everybody. Anyway, the point is, there's that, and that's the thing that we'll probably never not be able to do. But also, when we were kids, we saw nothing wrong with the goofiness and the humor and the Tarzan yell from Chewbacca and the freaking Muppets everywhere. We were okay with that stuff because we were kids and we didn't matter. Just, and like, now that we're adults, we get so much scrutiny over goofy stuff like Porgs or whatever.
Well, like, just like our kids didn't have a problem with Jar Jar until they heard their parents say, no, you can't like Jar Jar. Jar Jar is horrible. Everybody should hate Jar Jar.
Right. Right.
Okay, I'll hate Jar Jar.
I'll hate him too, because you're my parents and you've told me what to do. That's exactly right. All right. Anyway.
Now, some people may agree with my thoughts, some people won't, but if they don't, they can always, what's the podcast, Scott? Unfriend Me. That's what.
Oh, yeah, then go to Unfriend Me. In fact, tomorrow's Unfriend Me is all about this fight between Star Wars people, because we're trying to do a softer December anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you're closing it out with, as I said, a very divisive,
I would agree. I don't know that it's all that, you know. It's all that docile, this particular topic now. People are real freaked out about it. Well, anyway, let's talk about Fantastic Four. We know about the Fox deal, and we know that's happening now. Mm-hmm. That's a real deal. Part of this is the acquisition of such properties, or getting them back anyway, things like Fantastic Four and others. Do you think we'll get new Fantastic Four movies? I should say, for the record, I am a believer in Brian Ibbett's theory that the best way to do this is to make a World of Tomorrow 1950s style.
Yes. Sci-fi.
Sci-fi thing.
Totally.
Yeah. I agree with Brian on that 100%. I'm curious where you're at there, Stephen, on what they could do to bring that back.
Certainly, First Family of comics could certainly do that thing. It becomes complicated with Marvel's sliding scale of time. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to freeze Steve Rogers in a block of ice and have him come back, you know, 60, 70 years later. Having the First Family do an adventure in the 50s, which would be perfect. Of course, that's also what The Incredibles is. But the problem is people are going to want to see them interact with the future. And 85-year-old Sue Richards is not going to is not going to probably fly in the face for many fans if you try to pair her with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always been my thing since 2004 when it came out. The Incredibles was the Fantastic Four, like the way it should be. And they get away with it because it's animated. So I sometimes wonder if some of the... I mean, I used to say this about Guardians of the Galaxy, but I was wrong. When they finally made it, I went, oh, this does work as live action. Well done, everybody. But before that, I would have said, oh, you need to animate that. Like,
yeah.
Do some kind of cool 3D thing.
Two-fifths of it is animated.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
Here's the problem with getting a new Fantastic Four movie. 20th Century Fox or 21st Century Fox doesn't own the Fantastic Four, the movie rights. They only own the distribution rights, just like Lucasfilms owns Star Wars. 20th Century Fox owned the distribution rights to Star Wars. Fantastic Four is owned by a German company called Constantin Films, which has been around and owned that franchise since 1986 when we got that horrible...
The Roger Corman movie
that, of course, never came out.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, Constantin Films, or Constantine, I don't know how you pronounce it, have been producing the films in conjunction with 20th Century Fox to get them released. It's not clear.
I did not know any of this, by the way. I had no idea some German company owned it.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing is, when this deal closes between 21st Century Fox and Disney, will those distribution rights go over to Disney like the Star Wars films did or not? Mm-hmm. If they do, then it's going to be up to Constantin Films to say, hey, we want to make another Fantastic Four movie. Disney, you have distribution rights. Would you be interested in us distributing our Fantastic Four film? At which point Disney would come back and say, we would if you do these things, and if you work with so-and-so group, and if you want to produce this, you can with our guidance, and we will be happy to distribute it. But Disney just can't suddenly come out and say, we're making a new Fantastic Four film, because they don't own the film rights to the Fantastic Four.
I wonder how many people knew that. I had no idea that was... Did Brian know?
I didn't know it until last week. But
I didn't know that. I was this whole time I'm thinking, yeah, we're getting Fantastic Four back, everybody. Woo! Start lining up for tickets now. This is gonna be great. And then I didn't realize some guy's going, no, you cannot have a movie we own the rights to. You
and of course, Constantin Films wants to make money. It's the only route to go. They're not gonna do this on their own and make any money. It's the only choice is to get Disney involved and do something.
Right. And so there's probably a good chance, but it's not suddenly like Disney's going to flip the switch and say, hey, we're going ahead with this.
Okay.
Sure.
So distribution rights is all that Fox had.
Right.
But it's possible that not only would Disney have distribution rights now, and that's what they purchased.
And they could certainly throw a ton of money right at Constantin Films and say, hey, we want to buy the Fantastic Four production rights from you in this process.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that totally... I was going to say, I think that seems maybe not likely, but certainly possible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
it is the Marvel property that's so in desperate need of a reboot. I mean, they definitely shouldn't touch Deadpool as far as any reboot. You've got the perfect style of film. You've got the perfect actor in Ryan Reynolds. Don't touch that, Disney. Do your Deadpool movies, but don't touch it. You know, don't touch the formula that works.
Right.
X-Men, maybe, but...
Definitely go. I mean, your X-Men, first of all, you're going to lose all your anchor character, Wolverine, is aged out of it. He's done.
Right.
He doesn't want to do it anymore. So maybe now's the time for that to get a new approach. Let's get Bryan Singer out of there for a while. We don't need, you know... He's the usual suspect on those movies. Let's get him out and have him go somewhere else. Let's have some fresh blood. Like, I'm all for that. But yes, Deadpool, you got a good thing already. You don't need to dink with that too much, probably.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat is saying that the deal is already done with Fantastic Four and Disney, but I have not seen anything that regards to that. So
yeah, fake news. Fake news.
Yeah. I mean, until I see it, I can't confirm it. So I'm just repeating as of Friday last week, Thursday last week.
Right.
That's what the current situation was.
Well, I'm excited to see.
But regardless of Fantastic Four, Marvel, give us something with Galactus. I don't care what you have to do, but give us the Avengers versus Galactus after they're done wiping the floor with Thanos.
Did they have a Galactus thing in the Silver Surfer? I don't remember.
They did, but it was the Ultimate Universe version of Galactus.
Which
it
is what?
Cloud.
Giant Swarm
Cloud Lactus.
Cloud Lactus. You know what, Brian? You need to ask your doctor if Cloud Lactus is right for you.
It wasn't. I'll tell you right now, it was not right for me.
Yeah. I never saw Silver Surfer, so I can't really speak to it. I didn't like the movie enough to not see this stupid sequel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I you know, who knows what all this means in the end, but more on that as it comes. And, of course, MajorSpoilers.com is going to do that. Now, the San Diego Comic-Con versus Salt Lake Comic-Con, and therefore other Comic-Cons with the same name, I guess, by virtue of, you know, they may learn something from this lawsuit as well. You're going to talk about this at length on the Major Spoilers podcast, or is it already up? Is it
I'm
already
going to sit down this afternoon and talk with a lawyer friend of mine about the copyright results that have come out of the trial. Of course, this has been appealed a couple of times, and they are upholding the trademark that San Diego Comic-Con says that they have. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake City says that they are appealing it, but we're going to talk about what does this mean, especially to every other convention out there that has the name Comic Convention in their name or any kind of derivative of that.
Yeah.
The thing that's going to be fascinating about this and the thing that could kind of throw a wrench into everything is a couple of Comic Cons, and I believe the Emerald City Comic Con and Rose City Comic Con, or maybe it's Fan Expo Canada and Rose City Comic Con, have already paid a quote-unquote licensing deal to the San Diego Comic Con to use that name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Wow. So maybe that ends up being what Salt Lake has to do at some point?
That's what I think the argument is right now is, you know, Comic-Con, Comic Convention, is such a Kleenex X-ray, Xerox name, mm-hmm. that right. Why should we be paying a licensing fee to use that?
Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of have a point, but also I think Salt Lake Comic-Con's just being a little bit cheap about it too, so I don't know. It's interesting, though, so we'll check that out.
If you look at the finance, if you want to go into the financing part of it, it becomes even stranger. But when it comes pure down to trademarks and copyrights, that's the fascinating part of the discussion and how the law looks at these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And how after this 21st century Disney merger, copyright law is going to be the biggest lobbying thing that will go on between now and 2025.
Wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, life's a complicated place, and Steven Schleicher's there to answer your questions on the Major Spoilers podcast over at MajorSpoilers.com. Lawyers and everything. That's fantastic. Well, awesome. People should check that out. Any other things you want to mention? Any big plans for the holidays for the site or anything like that?
No big plans for the holidays. We will have a couple of shows between now and the end of the year. Of course, Critical Hit will be around. One thing I would point out is if people are interested to see who could be the big loser in this Disney 20th Century Fox deal, I've got an article over at Major Spoilers that talks about a certain comic book company that was once in the number 3 distribution slot, but has slipped down to number 5 and could slip even further once this deal concludes.
Oh, wow. That feels like a real teaser to me.
Yeah, it's all over at MajorSpoilers.com.
All right.
Major teaser.
MajorTeasers.com. Ooh. It sounds weird for some reason. Anyway, hey, Steven, it's always always a pleasure. Stay out of trouble and have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon. I don't think we'll talk to you Monday because that's freaking Christmas Day.
No, because it's Christmas. So yeah. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and drink your blue milk.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And do drink your blue milk. It's a good idea. Or that green, nasty, yellowish milk that came out of the teat of that thing in Star Wars.
Spoilers.
Oh, gosh. I don't think that's a spoiler. Is it? Maybe it is.
No, it's not. It's not a spoiler.
It's just a thing to see.
You don't know it until you know it.
Right. Email. Got an email.
From yes, let's read that email.
Chris and Angela sent this in.
Angela.
Angela. Rhoda. Sorry. What are we doing there? Tony Danza? Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's what we're doing, yes. Mona.
Mona. Not Rhoda. Mona.
Not Rhoda. Mona.
Angela. Here's the email. It says this. Thursday's TMS, listening on my way back from work. This is actually coming from Chris. to work, and I was happy that you mentioned the boob signing. We talked about the boob signing. You know?
Yes.
Says that first signing was my future at the time wife, Angela. She was really tickled that you were so awkward during the signing back then. I couldn't wait to tell her you're still awkward about it to this day. And she then told her, no, then I told her she may have sexually assaulted you that day. apologies. We're resigning our jobs or something. How does this work? Chris and Andrew. Well done, guys.
Nice.
Yeah. I just didn't want, I didn't want her to feel like I was, you know, weird.
Getting anything out of it.
No, I just was like trying to sign and hold it flat and not touch anything. Right. Exactly. And that's all.
Exactly.
All very convoluted. We got a mashup from Jamie that I would like to also play.
By the way, gotta love the fact that he used, she was really tickled.
Yeah.
Like that phrase. Yep. Was it by the Sharpie?
Yeah, nailed it. Oh, wait, where is this file? Oh, shoot. Jamie sent me a new thing, but I don't... Oh, maybe it's still in the email. I thought I got this. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Mashup. Oh, yep, that's what I did. I screwed this up. Okay. Don't worry. Scott's on the case. We got it. We're good. Jamie sent yet another mashup. This one is from episodes... doesn't say. Oh, 1392 to 1394. Here you go. I was about to put my mouth on the mouth of a dude who'd clearly not washed that mouth in about, I don't know, 10 years.
They were like deep fried balls. Help me get this booger off my finger.
I think my earbuds touched your Frankfurter.
That means I'm going to throw poo at you in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What? Why would they do what the...
Oh, shit. The 180 kids in this test were assigned to one of three condoms. Conditions.
What?
Scott.
Hey, Larry, you read the paper? I think they found your foot.
I just swallowed some coffee wrong, so where did my nipples go?
I don't want it. Walmart wants you to
Where did I park my nipples? Oh, no.
You got some fine boobs, lady. I'd like to touch one of them with a Sharpie.
You don't want to look like a... What was the guy who cut his ear off? Who was the painter?
It was in my head, and then I...
Jim Bob.
Was it Da Vinci?
Jim Bob Felchmeyer. Leon P. Anal Cheese. That will, quote unquote, light up the room. Get it? Yeah. I'd laugh like Mario then. What was that about?
It's not how pot smokers laugh, Scott.
No, it's not.
That's how they imagine their laugh. You know, we all hear, but to them it's all,
woohoo!
And on comes what I can only describe as the Pakistani Michael Bublé singing the Eensy Weensy Spider song.
Oh, shut up. Really?
With thick accent and everything. So it's like the Eensy Weensy Spider with the water spout.
That's awesome.
Oh, my Lord. That was a good one.
I like the callback, too. Like talking about the boob signing right there in the mashup.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Perfect. Actually, you sent me a film sack one. I forgot to play it over the weekend, but we'll get it on the next episode. Oh. Don't you worry your little heads.
That's right. In 2 weeks, Point Break, people.
Point Break. Yeah. Johnny Utah. Let's do this.
That's right.
That's it for us. We're done. We're out. And we'll be back tomorrow with a new show. We'll have just Jury on. Bill is on a early Christmas little trip he's doing, so...
Vacation leave, is that what we're calling it?
That's the word he
Shirking
used.
Shirking his duties leave, is that it? I see.
I told him I'm not paying him for that day he misses. Just not going to get paid. Oh, wait, we don't pay them anything.
It's Friday anyway, so.
That's true.
I'm shirking my duties to go to Vegas, baby.
Yeah, we're all shirking it. Everyone's shirking it.
Shirk it real good.
It's the holidays. That's when you shirk. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all for your support during the week. Got a lot of really great people came back to Patreon after they... fixed Yay. Their flub. Thank you guys for that. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to do it. If you previously dropped support because of their policy change, come on back because they've completely rescinded it. They're not doing it at all now. And there's a whole big post about it on their site. So you can read all about it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. And by the way, I just found out from Dave Michael, if you use the keyword PORG, the checkout code PORG, on the Frog Pants store, any Star Wars related merchandise is some percent off. I forgot what he said. 25% off? Oh, I better make sure on that.
Well, it better be 25% off now that you've said that.
Well,
if it was 10% before,
let me make my
quick edit it.
I'm gonna make my sure real quick here. Oh, and no Daryl today because there's no Star Trek anything to talk about, if anyone's asking. It's like, why no Daryl today? Because there's nothing going on. Like, there's the, we have a break.
No Trek news.
Yeah, and not until there's some to tell. So that'll be soon.
Right.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Dave said, here we go. Yeah, you can't find it. Okay, great. Maybe it was on Twitter. Ah, poop. Well, anyway, it was something. He's not listening right now, so he can't tell me, but it was something like that. 15, maybe, okay. Whatever it was. But use Porg. It'll save you money on Star Wars prints and stuff that we've made that are on the store. Oh, 15, nice. Says Dave. He is listening.
Okay, good.
15% is the 15%. Correct number. Sorry, Dave. There's that. All right, Brian. Should we go? You have music? What are we doing here?
I have music. I have a nice short little song for our going away until tomorrow song. This was going to be something we played on Friday, but we moved it to today for obvious reasons. Hi, Brian. Friday, December 15th, my husband and I will be celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary by going to see The Last Jedi. That's just one way for me to say I love you. Here's another way. Can you play Happy Christmas by Hanson? By doing so, you'll be telling Chris I love you all over again for me. Thanks, Leslie, a.k.a. Leslie Hayes 4, a.k.a. Logan's mom, and some other stuff that I won't read. Anyway, so Leslie, yes, absolutely. Congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. I can't remember if that is the Porg anniversary where you're supposed to get each other Porgs or get each other crystal foxes. I can't remember, but whatever.
Yeah, who knows?
Salt is what you get each other. This is from the brand new Hanson album. Yes, Zach Isaac and Taylor, I think. Zach Isaac and Taylor. The brothers Hanson have released a brand new Christmas album. I've always been a fan of these guys. I think Mbop was an unfair song to put them in the limelight because their music was so much better than that one song kind of got them across. Mm-hmm. But they released a Christmas album. It's hit and miss. There's some good tracks on there. There's some old recordings of them as kids prior to that first album coming out where they're singing Christmas songs. Don't need it. Mm-hmm. The album is called Finally It's Christmas and includes this short little tune. Here is Happy Christmas.
I'm looking at some pictures of them now. They're all grown up now, these handsome boys.
Brewing beer.
Yeah.
Mhop beer.
Mbop. Get that today. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.